remember just a few months ago, Pastor and I called Dr. Burrs because we had received news that his time was very, very limited, just a few days to live. And there he is setting up. So you never know. God's in control of those things. And praise the Lord. 9 people that they've been able to lead to the Lord in their home who have helped them through this. And I was speaking with someone earlier today about this video, and I thought, you know, this really just is God blessing them and rewarding them with those things. And I just, when Dr. Burrs said they've been so easy, one even brought up the subject. I just, wow, that's amazing. So praise the Lord. All right, open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 3 tonight. So we've been going through the book of Jonah, and I've just enjoyed going through different books of the Bible. And Jonah in particular, I have learned as I've gone through it this time that I actually get I refer to Jonah a lot, no matter what I'm preaching, because there's just a lot of things in there that will apply to other passages of Scripture. And tonight, that particular topic that I want to sort of emphasize is regarding forgiveness. So if I were to title the sermon tonight something other than Jonah number 3, I would title it, What Happens Next? What is next? If you know where we're at in the book of Jonah, we know that Jonah started off in a big mess, and he caused the Lord caused a great wind, a storm. The mariners kicked him out. They reluctantly did so, and a great fish swallowed him. He was in the belly. Last week we read chapter 2, which is essentially the Psalm of Jonah, and he's getting right with God, getting his heart in the right place. And then the whale spit Jonah out on the dry land. Okay, so that's sort of where we've been. So what do we do next? What comes next? Let's say that you've been running from God. Someone's been running from God. In this instance, it's been Jonah. And you've come to your senses. You've prayed. You've asked forgiveness. You have followed the process that the Lord has given us in Scripture. You realize that running from God has not been beneficial. It's been difficult. So what next? What do you do now that you've repented of your sin and asked God's forgiveness? It's been granted. So next on the list is what? So I want to talk about just a couple of different options tonight. The first option is you've done all that and you're right with God. So option number one is hasta la vista, sinner. You know, see you later. Yes, you're right with God. You've done what was necessary, but you have no future because of this massive disobedience that you have committed. And so now, you know, you're just you're kind of up the creek without a paddle, forgiven, but there's nothing that you can do at this point. It's great that you've recognized it. Great that you've repented. Great that you've confessed to God and received forgiveness. But there's no place for you in the plan or program of God. Option number one. Option number two. Here is a comfortable situation for you now that you've gotten right with God. Here's a velvet pillow for you to serve the Lord upon, and a lazy boy chair for you to just kick back on and enjoy and bask in God's forgiveness. It's so great that you've confessed and got right with God that, you know, you don't even have to worry about going back to what you were originally supposed to do. The nature of your forgiveness is that now you have no responsibilities going forward. Go and live in peace, and we'll see you in heaven when you get there. So option number two, is it like that? So, you know, when I put it that way, does forgiveness mean that you no longer get to work for God? Or does it mean that you can work for God and it's just going to be an easy time and everything's going to be fine and dandy? What's the answer to both of those questions? Well, it's really no, isn't it? No and no. And I want to explain that tonight. So it leaves us where we started. What happens next? What happens when you're forgiven? If a person has been running from God in some area of their life and now they've confessed, they've received forgiveness, what is going to happen next? I'm not going to give you too much of the spill of Jonah, because everyone here, I believe, knows the story, and we know where Jonah has left off. And where we left off last week was at the end of chapter 2, verse 10. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So let's look at the next few verses of Jonah chapter 3 now. We'll see the first 4 verses, and we'll see some truths about forgiveness, some things that we can learn and apply to our lives going forward. So verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, see if this sounds familiar. "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. This is where it's different, right? Essentially, the first two verses sound a lot like the very first part of Jonah. But verse 3 is different. "Jonah arose, went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" So this is clearly a second chance to do for God what Jonah was originally given to do. It doesn't always happen exactly like that, but in Jonah's case, it did. So it's clearly evident here that God is giving Jonah a second chance. So we serve a God. Have you ever heard that said before? We serve the God of the second chance. And a good preacher will continue that saying, not only the second chance, bless God, but the third and the fourth and the fifth. And it's true, right? Have you ever gotten more than just two chances with the Lord? I know I have, and I praise the Lord for it. But here, for the sake of tonight, God is a God of a second chance. So one of the obvious messages that comes screaming out of this text is that God is giving Jonah the exact same ministry assignment he had before he disobeyed. The words he uses, as I pointed out at the beginning of chapter 3, are very, very similar, almost identical to that which he uses in chapter 1. And I believe that's on purpose. We are intended to see here the marvelous truth about our God. He was gracious with Jonah. He gave Jonah a second chance. And I mentioned this last week. You know, had we been in the position of authority in this case, we likely would have scratched Jonah off the face of the earth and sent another more obedient prophet to do the job. But God is gracious. So does it always happen this way? If we're just kind of push the pause button for a second and look at what Jonah has here, does it always happen like this? You've disobeyed God, and you've realized running from him is perilous. You don't want to do it. You've gotten right with God, and God says, okay, you're forgiven. Here's your chance. Same thing. Get it done. Doesn't always happen that way, does it? It's not always the way that we see it. There are instances in Scripture where clearly second chances were not given. And we could talk about Ananias and Sapphira, right? When they lied, essentially, and poof, they dropped dead on the spot. And our flesh wants to say, that's more like it. You know, you don't disobey like that, or pow, you're dead. So it doesn't always happen this way that we're seeing here in the book of Jonah tonight. There are instances where it doesn't. But God gave Jonah a second chance. And we would be out of balance to say that it always occurs this way when we are forgiven. And secondly, are we making this point so that all of us will decide to go out and sin and then come and ask God for forgiveness and know that we're going to get a second chance? You know, of course not. We're not doing that. We're not saying that. This passage is not written to people who are contemplating sin and wondering if God is going to permit them to continue in ministry after they decide to get right with God. That's not the audience of this scripture. This passage is written to people who have messed up, who might wonder if God would still be willing to use them in any way again. And that answer comes through loud and clear when God gave Jonah a second chance. His repentance was genuine. He got right with God. Not only did God forgive him, but he gave him another opportunity to complete his assignment. And I was thinking as I was preparing for this tonight, has God ever done that for me? Where I've neglected something I felt the Spirit's urging to do. And I came up with several in my mind where, you know, I didn't share the gospel with somebody that I really felt I should have, and for whatever reason made an excuse and got distracted, and God has given me another opportunity. And different things like that. I have a family member who was called to ministry and decided against it. And for many, many years, he knew he was called to ministry, but he fought against that and fought against that. In fact, he will tell you a lot of Jonah relates to him. There was no fish involved, but the proverbial fish or a metaphorical fish certainly was involved. But God got a hold of his heart, and he got right with the Lord, and God restored him in a marvelous way, and he is in ministry today. So I praise God for those instances in Scripture. I praise God for forgiveness. Psalms chapter 103 and verse 12 is where the Bible says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." So that's what God did for Jonah in forgiving him. As big as Jonah's sin was, if we're going to try and and quantify the size of sin. As big as it was, as big as his running and his rebellion was, God's forgiveness was bigger. So a good question to ask from that would be, well, does that mean that God forgets our sin? You ever heard that before? God forgets our sin. But I often said this when talking about forgiveness. To say that God forgets our sin would not be biblically accurate. And in some ways, it sort of lessens the impact of what God does when it comes to our sin. He chooses not to remember. Okay, that there's a difference, right? You say, what's the difference if he forgets or if he chooses not to remember? Well, the choosing not to remember is an active role, isn't it? Do you understand what I'm saying? So his forgiveness, he chooses not to remember our sin. When we're talking about it, it's even better because in forgiveness, he chooses not to remember what we did. You might say, well, the difference there doesn't seem that big, but to me it is. One is sort of passive and the other one is active. And in biblical forgiveness, when he chooses not to remember our sins, he does so in the sense that he chooses not to use the sin of our past in determining how he's going to treat us today. I mean, only God can choose to forget something, right? It's a lot harder for us, isn't it? But as I said last week, when we are close to the Lord and as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, he does give us the ability to see differently, where bitterness is not so much an issue because we're close to God. And we really understand that essentially we're all in the same playing field. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is important that we realize that's where we all are. That's where we land. None is better than the other. Jonah got in trouble for thinking that, right? He felt himself superior to the Ninevites. That's why he didn't want to go there. They weren't worthy of the same grace that he had already received from God. So he understood that, and God is giving him a second chance. Now, it comes after the forgiveness or the repentance is made in chapter 2. Jonah chapter 3 could not have occurred if Jonah chapter 2 had not occurred. The additional chance came after Jonah repented. It's true of salvation, right? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. We are familiar with John chapter 3, verse 16. It's quoted all the time. But a lot of times people don't go on to quote chapter 8 or verse 18 that says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Having cleared all of that out of the way, let's go back to the main point. God has given Jonah a second chance. It came on the heels of him asking forgiveness. So he was sincere in his forgiveness. God causes the fish to spit him out, and now he's going forward for the Lord. So how did this affect Old Testament Israel? This is one of the things I want to understand when I'm studying, especially in the Old Testament, is how was the original hearers supposed to respond to this? Now, we've been seeing this all throughout Jonah, the study of Jonah, that the way Jonah was functioning as a human being, Israel was functioning as a nation. I can't remember if we read 2 Kings 17 last week or not. I think I did reference it, but 2 Kings chapter 17 is where the nation of Israel is running from God and they're worshiping idols, and it's hard to read because you know they're about to get in trouble. But what was the lesson to them? The lesson to them was they too could repent. Jonah repented. He got right with God in dire circumstances, down in the depths of the sea. He confessed to God. He got right with God. God heard his cry, and he was able to be restored to his position. So Israel, you too could repent. This too could have another chance. What God did for Jonah, he was willing to do for Israel because God is a God of the second chance. So how does that affect you and me? We're not Old Testament Israel, but one answer is this. We should never believe the lie that we've gone so far we can never come back. I've dealt with people in ministry for the last 20 years, off and on, of someone who felt they were too far gone to come back to God. Have you ever dealt with someone like that? They just thought, you know, my sin is too heinous. I'm too far from God. They may say something like, if I were to step inside the auditorium, the roof would come crashing down, right? Because they felt as though they've gone just too far. I've messed up once, and there's just no trying to be pure or be holy or be right today. God's done with me. There's no place for me. There's no hope for me. I might as well sin again. If you have questions about that in any matter, please hear the word of God through the prophet Jonah. It's pretty serious business to outright disobey God and run, right? No, I'm not going to Nineveh and run. That's pretty significant. And that's what Jonah was doing. And yet when he repented, God gave him a second chance. The sufficient blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient enough. God's grace, that's why I picked that song tonight. Grace, grace, God's grace. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace freely bestowed on all who believe. And, you know, God is able to do that. If God was willing to give his disobedient prophet another chance, we ought to be willing to do the same for anyone that God might bring into our church. You know, we have there's a plague of judgmentalism amongst, I would say, immature Christians, you know, because as you grow in the Lord, you have a lot more compassion for people who find themselves in pretty rough situations. It used to be that, I don't know if I've ever said this before, but do you remember not so long ago, divorce was like the unpardonable sin in churches. I mean, someone who was divorced was considered like a second-class citizen. And I'm not saying that marriage is not, there's the sanctity of marriage is important, and God tells us about that, and we preach that, and we teach that, but what if somebody comes in who has been through a divorce, or who wants to serve the Lord, and is trying to get right with God? It used to be that that person wouldn't be welcome, or a person of a different lifestyle, and all of these things, and the church is so quick to judge people like that. I would warn us not to do that. I would warn us to look at Scripture, consider what God has to say. What about a person who's been living in rebellion? What about a person who's been disobedient, who's been running from God? Any more than Jonah? Disobedient, running from God? It puts the lives of everyone around him at stake on that boat. God gave his repentant prophet a second chance. Should we do any less for anyone who God may see fit to bring across our path? You know, I want to, and I often need help with this, but I want to view people as God views them, and I pray that all the time. Lord, help me see that person through your eyes. I can't help but get convicted when I pull up to a stop sign or a stoplight and somebody is there, you know, asking for money. And I will almost always give them something and a tract just to try and help them, because it convicts me. I know God loves that person. I know he wants to save that person if they're not saved. And we ought to view people that way. We can't miss the obvious emphasis of this text. God gave Jonah a second chance. Is there any sense in which you've been hesitating to get an area of your life right with God because you've concluded, I've messed up too many times, what's the use of trying now? Or is there a sense in which you may have shunned somebody else because of their past, or looked down on that person because of their past? If you find yourself in either category, I believe God would say to us tonight, through his word in the prophet Jonah, he is a God of the second chance. He's a God, he is a forgiving God. He is a gracious God. He is a loving God. Now, we can also say that God's forgiveness comes with responsibility. Let me ask you, did God say to Jonah, yes, I forgive you, so now you don't have to go to Nineveh, but I forgive you? He didn't do that, did he? Forgiveness is coming with a task, with a job, with responsibility. Forgiveness is not an end of itself. You have a job to do. When we're forgiven, we need to move forward for the Lord. And God shows us that. He gives Jonah a task to do. Forgiveness came with responsibility. Sort of like a two-edged sword, if you think about it, because you know, the positive side of that is this. Not only will God forgive you, he will use you. And there may be limits to how God can use you, depending on what you've been through in your life. But God can use anybody. God can use anyone who has been saved for his honor and for his glory. You have a gift. You have a service. You have an opportunity, no matter what your past, bar none. I believe that based on Scripture. And forgiveness comes with a responsibility. I wonder if there might be people who've concluded, you know, because I have sinned in a particular way or for a particular length of time, there's just no place for me in God's service. I just don't believe that in the least bit, because I know and I have seen God use people, and God has used people with testimonies of, you know, you probably heard them before, right? Just the terrible past that they've had. Well, you know, look in Scripture at guys like David and others who have very sordid issues in their life that God still forgives and uses. Now, it's sort of a two-edged sword, and I mentioned that the challenging side of that is, I really believe that God expects, because we're forgiven, for us to get with it, to get busy, to get in service for the Lord. His forgiving hand should not be viewed as a feather bed now, you know. Often people will bring this up, and if they bring it up, it's because they don't know Scripture very well. But they would say, like, salvation is a license to sin. Haven't you heard that before? You know, if you guys that believe in eternal security, well, you might as well just get saved and then live the life of the flesh and do whatever you want, because you don't believe you're going to lose yourself. They have misconstrued Scripture and don't understand what a real relationship with God yields and what it means to grow closer to Him. God expects us as forgiven people to get with the program. His forgiving hand should be a motivation to serve. God's forgiving hand should be viewed as a job assignment, a ministry path. And I use Jonah as the example for just exactly that. What do you think Jonah intended to do? Like, he was running to Joppa. So what was he going to do in Joppa? Does he think he's getting away from God? What was his plan? I wonder what he thought that he was going to do. He just didn't want to do what God told him to do. So he's outright disobeying and heading down this path. I want you to turn for just a few minutes to Luke chapter 24. I will validate what I'm saying with Scripture. Forgiveness is an opportunity to serve. This is sort of like a parallel example of what we're studying from the life of Jonah. This passage records an event that occurred after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but before his ascension into heaven, and it illustrates the relationship between forgiveness and the responsibility to God to after we're forgiven, the responsibility we have to the Lord. So look at Luke chapter 24 in verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then, the Bible says, opened he their eyes, or their understanding, that they might understand the Scripture, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And here, these next few verses, it really illustrates the opportunity, or the task, the responsibility, if you will, that they were given. Verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. See, it's wrong to think that, and I don't know that anybody actually thinks that in this crowd tonight, but I've heard this before. It's wrong to think that forgiveness absolves a person from responsibility. It should be just exactly the opposite, but it sort of goes against the grain. It's sort of a sinner may be labeled a certain way. They're just that person. And so if they don't want to serve anymore after they've been forgiven, oh, that's fine. But it isn't fine, not according to Scripture. There's a responsibility, and Jonah is a very clear example of serving God after he was forgiven. He provided forgiveness for the disciples in this passage so that they could accomplish the mission of preaching the gospel. And we could go through illustrations. Was Peter perfect? Did Peter mess up? Boy, he did, didn't he? Cussing and denying Christ and then, you know, cutting off mouth. There's a whole host of things, and yet he's used to preach the gospel, and thousands upon thousands are being saved, right? So he had a responsibility after he was forgiven. So we are looking at this appropriate blend between faith and works, because there is an inappropriate blend, isn't there? Those that would say works are required for salvation, when we know the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. These two issues are constantly confused. On the one hand, you have people who believe they can work their way to heaven, They believe it's possible to be good enough to gain your way into heaven. And then you have men and women that believe the opposite of that. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I received a text earlier this week asking for some verses on eternal security. So I've had an opportunity to study a little bit. I mean, I know the things, but it's always good to refresh your memory, right? And, you know, it's amazing how much God loves us and how gracious God is and how huge his forgiveness is to us. It's just, I'm always so encouraged. I'm always so blessed. And just to read, I've read the book of Jonah multiple times in the last few weeks. And I marvel. I marvel, number one, that out of the belly of hell, Jonah said, he cried, and the Lord heard him. God heard him in his darkest, lowest, most horrible place he could be. The Lord is just waiting to hear those words, you know, just waiting to hear our cry to him. And then he's extremely gracious in providing that fish to swallow him to spare his life. It wasn't judgment, it was grace. And then God caused the fish to spit him up, and then God gave him a ministry assignment moving ahead. It's amazing to me. You know, the first step in knowing God and pleasing him is forgiveness, and knowing what that means and doing something with it. Forgiveness must come first, and it's only available through the blood of Jesus Christ, and then the works come. Yes, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is a matter of works after salvation, right? Works are a part of salvation. The after part, the effect of salvation provides for us good works. Works don't save, but let me tell you something. Saved people work for the Lord, and they want to, and they want to serve God, and they want to move forward for the Lord. And I find a Jonah is a good example. Now, he does a few things that are a bit disappointing, but you know, that's why I say God is the God of the second chance, but I can also clearly tell you he's the God of a lot more chances. None of us are really worthy of that, but that's just how big his love is and how marvelous his grace is. And that's why I like that song. That's why we sing it tonight. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Paul considered himself the chiefest of sinners. You know, it just, I don't know. His grace is amazing, isn't it? And forgiveness comes with responsibility. And he is the God of the second chance. And if you've been forgiven, don't think that you have it easy now. Now it's time to get busy for God and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your grace in this story with Jonah. And Lord, you called him. He disobeyed. He was corrected. He surrendered. You forgave him. And Lord, he went and did what you asked him to do. I thank you for that example. And Lord, I pray that would be the case with us. Lord, maybe somebody is outright running against you right now. They're disobeying you, and you've been gracious. You're providing them opportunity to repent and trust you and to get busy for you. Lord, I pray that you would work in that person's heart. And Lord, I pray that you would show us where we may need to change, where we may need to grow in you, and reveal to us ways where perhaps sin is in our life. And Lord, I marvel at your grace, and I just want to thank you for it as a beneficiary of it. And Lord, with that forgiveness comes a responsibility to work, to serve, to be ambassadors, to spread your love to a lost and dying world. And may we be less judgmental, Lord, that we would just look and see people as you see them. Give us eyes to see as you see. And Lord, give us the boldness to witness. In Jesus' name, amen.